Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We are online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com. Thanks for joining us in those locations, and thanks for listening to our podcasts. All of the programming here on Trumpet Radio is available online there at kpcg.fm, thetrumpet.com, or any place that you like to get your podcasts. Have you ever thought about what the purpose of mankind on this earth is? What is life all about? There was an actor years ago, a very famous actor, that got to the end of his life, and he posed the question, what was that all about? He achieved riches and fame and many of the things that people would aspire to, and yet at the end of it all, he was left with that question, what was that all about? What was the point of that? Well, we don't have to be in the dark about what the point of this life is. It's important. What we're doing now is very important because, as we'll see, this earth, this life today, is a training ground for us, a training ground for a great future. Now, if you've looked much into the Bible, you know some of the history about Lucifer, who rebelled and became Satan the devil. He had a third of the angels that he was ruling over using God's government on this earth, and Lucifer sinned, and he led a third of the angels, those under him, in rebellion against God's law as well. They did not administer God's government anymore. They wouldn't do it. And so God knew that he had to do something different. And so he began an amazing plan of recreating himself through mankind. Notice this from the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. This is free at thetrumpet.com. Please sign up for it. It says, God, at this point, then finally realized that he and the Word, who later became Jesus Christ, were the only beings who would never sin. Only members of the God family have the kind of holy, righteous character that could certainly be relied on never to sin. So how could the final beautification and completion of the limitless universe be accomplished? Only by the addition of many more members to the God family who would also have the same holy, righteous character of God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. And so if you think about having freedom, real freedom, true freedom, is being free from sin. Being free from sin, that's what God and Jesus Christ want. God the Father and Jesus Christ, they want us to be free. They want the universe to be free. They want this earth to be free of sin. And that's true freedom, because if a person is not sinning or a being is not sinning, then they're free from all the penalties that come from sin. Imagine never having to suffer a penalty for sin because you don't sin. That's a wonderful freedom that we all are trying to grow towards, those that God's working with today. But that's the ultimate freedom. And God knew that for this earth to really fulfill its potential in the universe, it had to be ruled by the government of God. And only the God family can be counted on to never sin. And so, again, we're talking about this in relation to our lives today and what we're training for today. The Course says, so God created mankind for the purpose of reproducing more members of the God family. They would help to restore the government of God on earth. After their training program in the flesh was complete and they were born into his family. Training program in the flesh. That's what this life is about. It's a training program. We're learning how to administer the government of God today. And again, those that God has called, and not everyone's called to that. Everyone will have their opportunity at some point. But for those that God has called today and he's working with them, this is a training time. It's a time for training. It's a training program in the flesh. We've all been through different training programs. We've been to school, or maybe we've gone and learned a trade somewhere or got some on-the-job training. We've had training programs, or maybe played a sport. And so there's a period of training and practice before you go and play the game. And so people really dedicate themselves to some of that training, especially if they're very successful in what they're doing. How dedicated are we to this training program today? Or does life just sort of pass us by, like that actor who didn't know what it was about? No, we have to be making good use of our time. This truth, the fact that today is our training period, this truth gives us such a different perspective than the rest of humanity. And of course, most people are just living life like this is it, like today is all there is. And so what do? Well, eat, drink, and be merry, as the saying goes, right? They think, well, let's just try to have as much pleasure as we can. Maybe I can get a lot of possessions, or maybe I can fulfill some desires or something like that. And that's the goal, the end goal for most people. But that's not the end goal. That's not the big goal for God's people. And of course, all people will be called and given a chance to understand this. So this is going to be for everybody. Everybody's going to have their time of training. But we have to see that there's more than just the physical pursuits. Because if that's all that there is, then in the end, we're left feeling empty because all the temporary pleasures pass. And a lot of those pleasures can be good. It's not to say that pleasure is a bad thing. It certainly isn't, unless it's, twisted or perverted in some way. Pleasure is good. God created us to enjoy things, enjoy a nice meal, enjoy family and companionship and all of those things. But if that's the only thing that we're having hope in, or that's the only thing we're really focusing on, and focusing on it in the here and the now, then we're going to be pretty empty. And we're going to be like that actor and say, what was that all about? Notice this passage here in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19. A couple of passages today. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19, it says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If this life was it, then eventually it's pretty miserable. It has some excitements, right? But then it eventually becomes miserable because things deteriorate. The physical world around us deteriorates. We deteriorate because we're made out of matter. But there's a lot more to this life than just these temporary passing moments and the pleasures that might come with them. The Course says, God has given this earth to us as a training ground, and this mortal life as the time for our training. We are training today. God's people are training. Those that God has called today, and God has to do the calling, God the Father. You can see that in John 6 and verse 44. Those he calls and that he's working with, this earth today is our training ground, and this is the time of our training. So few people know this, of course. They don't realize that God's given human life for training. Now they will know. They will be given a chance, those that God's not working with today. So, of course, God's completely fair in that. But if your mind is open to this, what an exciting truth it is. Now, if Adam would have obeyed God and eaten from the tree of life, God would have given Adam the Holy Spirit and began to create godly character in Adam. And ultimately, Adam would have been born into God's family. God had a whole training program ready for Adam. But Adam never began his training program. Right off the bat, it just completely failed because he went the wrong direction. And they rejected God, Adam and Eve did, and said, no, we're going to go our own way. We're going to sort things out our own way. We've got our own plans. And so Christ, the second Adam, had to come to earth about 4,000 years after Adam and Eve. Notice this in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 45 through 47. Talking about Christ here being the second Adam. It says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. We had Adam on this earth. He was a physical human. But then Christ came. Christ came and he qualified to replace Satan on the throne of this earth and sacrificed his perfect life to pay the death penalty for all those who repent of sin. There has to be a repentance there for those sins to be forgiven. And Christ paid the penalty for those. Christ qualified to restore God's government on this earth. And he also became the captain of our salvation. So as we're talking here about our training ground today and our training time today, we've got an example to look to. How do you get through this training program? If you've ever played on a sports team, the first day of practice, especially if the other people have been on the team for a while and you show up a little later, you're kind of lost for a day or two. That happened to me one time on a sports team, and it took me a while to figure out what everybody was doing. So the first day or two were pretty nerve-wracking for me. I didn't understand even how to go through the training. But we have an example here of somebody to show us. In the case of playing those sports, you know, there were coaches there that said, okay, now you got to do it this way and do it that way, and then, okay, you learn how to go through the processes. It's no different here in this life with all that God is trying to develop in us, his character. How do we go through this training program? How do we get from point A, where we're starting, to the end of this physical life, prepared to be born into the God family? How do we go through this training period? Well, we look to Christ because he did it. Adam failed, but Christ did not fail. Christ did it successfully. He was born a human, and then he became God. And of course, he was God before he was a human. I think you understand that. But he did it perfectly, and he became the captain of our salvation. He's the one that leads us. We can look to him. He did it. And see how he successfully used this time period, the training period, and of course, his training period was years back, and he never sinned, so obviously he was perfect. But still, he did learn about the human experience. And we'll see a little later how that helps him now be our advocate. But he is the captain of our salvation. Notice this here in Hebrews 2 and verse 10. It says, "For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things." God, who became the Father, created all things through him. It says, "And by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." He is going to bring many sons unto glory. So Christ isn't the only one that's going from human to God. There are many sons that are coming. And of course, that includes male and female. Many that are coming into the God family. But he's the captain of our salvation. The Course says, "He is now at God's throne." This is talking about Christ. "He is now at God's throne in heaven as our high priest. He is helping spirit-begotten Christians qualify to become his eternal assistants. With Christ's help, through his Spirit, the members of God's church are growing in godly character through obedience to God's law during this mortal life, which is their training period." So here we are in this training period. We need a coach. We need a help. Somebody that can show us the way to go. And we have that. And it's our high priest and our advocate, Jesus Christ. Our success in this life training period is determined by how well we learn to obey God's law and government. That's what Christ is leading us to do. He did that perfectly. That's what Lucifer would not do. He would not obey God's law, and he would not follow God's government. But Christ did, and he did it perfectly. And the difficulty in today's world is that the entirety of humanity, with the exception of the few that God's working with, are going in the opposite direction from God's law and government. So there's a massive pull the other direction. And Satan, of course, is the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, he's still broadcasting his moods, his attitudes, his thoughts, and they're all contrary to God's law and government. So it takes a lot of effort, but it takes the Spirit of God to be able to conquer Satan and those poles of this society and the poles within each person that may want to go the wrong direction. We do have to fight against those things. So we do. It's like a raging river. Society's a raging river going one way, and we've got to go the opposite direction. Not possible unless, of course, we use the Spirit of God, and then it's very possible. Thankfully, we have Christ to help us in this time of training. He's leading us. He's leading us through the training course. He's gone through it. He already knows how to get through it, And he's the trailblazer for us, the captain of our salvation. And now he's there as our high priest and our advocate. Notice this in 1 John 2 and verse 1. It says, "My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not." That's the goal, right? We don't want to sin. It says, "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." So what does that mean? What does Christ do as our advocate? Well, Trumpet editor-in-chief Gerald Fleury wrote this in The Last Hour, which is a free book at thetrumpet.com as well. Please get that if you don't have it. He explains it very well. He says, we are all sinners. We are all going to disappoint people, including ourselves and our Father. Even the ministry is compassed with infirmity or weakness. You can read that in Hebrews 5 and verse 2. We all fail to be perfect like our Father. This does not mean it is okay to sin. That's a huge point there, right? It doesn't mean that it's okay. We just read that in 1 John 2 and verse 1. My little children, you know, I write these things unto you that you sin not. Sin's not okay. But there is a reality that at times we do stumble. What is that? What happens then? Well, that's what is being discussed here. Mr. Fleury continues and says, this does not mean it's okay to sin. It is simply acknowledging reality, the reality of human life. In this training period, sometimes we trip. Sometimes we stumble. And what happens then? Well, there's Christ to help us. Notice this quote continues. When God's people stumble in sin, we may think only of God distancing himself from us, ashamed of us. But that's not the way it is. Do we realize that when we draw upon him, Christ becomes our advocate, pleading our case with God the Father? When you sin and perhaps get depressed over it, Christ is at God's throne being your advocate. And so Christ is there helping us. He's there talking to the Father and, you know, trying to make it as fair of a judgment as possible and how to help us, what to do, to encourage us, how to get us going in the right direction. And he can do that so effectively because he's been in our shoes. He's walked this path before. He knows what it's like. It doesn't matter what problem you face. He has an understanding of what that's like. He never sinned. He never sinned, but he still understands what it's like to be a human being. He felt pain, an amazing amount of pain that we can't even fathom because of being crucified. He was betrayed. You know, people let him down in the most vicious of ways. He was lied about. You know, anything you could think of, he dealt with, and he dealt with it successfully, and he never sinned. But he understands what that's like to go through trials and tests and difficulties. So he's there for us. He understands that. He had friends die. He went through that. He saw the results of sin. He cried over the problems that people had, the lack of faith, right, that people had, and the negative results that come from that. And he pleaded with people to change because he understood how sin was destroying them, and he wanted to help people. So he's been through it all perfectly and without sin. And so he can plead our case to God the Father. The quote continues and says, Jesus Christ came in human form and understands the pulls of the flesh. He knows the weaknesses of the human spirit and the flesh. With that experience, he can help us get through to the Father in every detail. He has experience the Father doesn't have, and the Father wants to hear his point of view. They both want to be absolutely just. Some people will think of God as sort of this very cold and removed authoritarian figure that's just constantly disappointed in everybody. And that's not the case. God the Father and Jesus Christ want to be as fair as possible. They want to help in every way possible. They do not tolerate sin, of course. That's why Christ had to die, because there's a penalty for sin. So we don't want to start thinking, well, sin's okay. It's not, but they want to help us overcome sin. They're there to help us if we'll go and rely upon that help and call upon that help. You know, we can't get through this training program on our own. We're not going to make it. It says, the Father wants to hear Christ's point of view. They both want to be absolutely just. The Father says to Christ, I want to hear you tell me about my son. We want to be as fair and loving and compassionate as we can be. The fact that we have an advocate shows God's great love and passion for justice. What a wonderful Father we have who will sit down and talk with our husband about how to remove our sins. Isn't that amazing? I mean, sometimes it's natural, I guess, to feel a little bit alone, depending on your situation. But if you stop and you really think about the fact that God the Father and Jesus Christ take time to sit down with each other and have in-depth discussions, God-level discussions, about individual people that he's called, that God the Father has called and is working with. I mean, that's a lot of attention being placed on each one of God's people. Very, very detailed attention by God the Father and Jesus Christ, because they're developing sons for the God family. You know, they're not oblivious to what a person might be going through. They're not oblivious to what you're going through. Matter of fact, they're right there with you. As long as we are striving to obey God and we're asking for that help and using his Spirit, they're there to help us. Christ is helping us fulfill our potential. He's leading us through this training ground. He's the captain of our salvation. The Course says, our incredible potential is to become holy, sinless, powerful, Spirit-born members in God's divine ruling family. Our spiritual birth into his family will make us God beings, just like the Father and Jesus Christ. We're going to have that type of power as well. God the Father will always be the top, and of course, in Christ will always be number two. And then there's a government system underneath that, but all populated with God family members with great power and great responsibility to do what Lucifer wouldn't do, and that is to administer the government of God and keep the law of God and take that out to this universe. It's an amazing opportunity. It's amazing potential. But first, there has to be training. There has to be training in this. And this is the time of training for those that God has called today. The Bible Correspondence Course says, God is now in the process of reproducing himself through mankind. He is now producing sons of God who can be trusted. He's learning about us, see? Can he trust us? Those who can be trusted to never sin, who will never rebel against God's government as Lucifer did, but will always obey their spiritual father. Now, we can read that and think, well, that's a pretty tall task. I mean, that's a huge goal. But then, right there, we've got an example of somebody who did it perfectly, in Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation, who is helping us through this training program that we're going through. We can call on him as our high priest and our advocate. He pleads our case to God the Father, and God the Father wants to hear about his sons from his firstborn son, Jesus Christ. He wants to hear about, what is that like? I see they're struggling. I see they're having a hard time. What's that like? What was it like when you were a human? How did that feel? What was the difficulty in that? What's the challenge? How did you conquer it? And God the Father and Jesus Christ have these discussions. It's not a fantasy. It's right there in the Bible. They have those deep discussions about us because they're wanting to help us in every way that they can. And as long as we're willing to let them lead us and direct us and correct us and help us, we're going to have all the help that we need to successfully and powerfully make it through the training program, not limp over the finish line, but finish in that final sprint and successfully complete this training program and this training period here on this earth today. That's what life is about. That's what we're here to do today. And that's why every moment does count for those that God has called today. That's all the time we have for this edition of Live by Every Word. Please get the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Also, our free book, The Last Hour. That's all at thetrumpet.com. I'm Dwight Falk. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.